said that we went out for dinner. He said, well, how about we have Bible study tonight? And I said, well, okay. We never had it together before, and I always like to go back to my room and read. But I said, I'm game. So I went up and got my Bible. He got his, and we went down to have a little dining room where they serve a continental breakfast at the Hampton Inn. And we sat down at a table over in the corner, and I said, okay, what do you want to study? He said, well, I got this one verse in Proverbs on my mind that I've been thinking about for the last couple of days, and I was wondering if we could go there. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And I thought to myself, boy, this is a pretty simple verse. I mean, just think about it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. What? I mean, how long would it take to study a verse like that? Well, about an hour and 15 minutes later when we got done, that verse meant a whole lot more to me than it did when we started. We just went through it word for word and talked about what each word meant, how it all fit together, how it applies to our life. And tonight, I'm going to share the things that have been on my heart ever since that verse. Now, here's how I want to do it. I have an outline, and I know what I'm going to cover, but I don't have my notes written out like I usually do because I just could not get the clearance from God as to how to present it until about 5 minutes ago. So that's why I say I don't know how it's going to come out. I'm going to illustrate for you, first of all, how it should work. And I'm going to use a very real-life example about how it should work. And then talk about how it should work in our life with God. And then I'm going to show you, with some help, about how it usually works. Okay? About how it usually works. All right, so here we go. Tomorrow morning at 6:40 in the morning, I'm going to Bishop Airport, and I'm going to get on an airplane to fly to Detroit, and then wait an hour or so, and then I get on another airplane and fly to Jacksonville, Florida. So at 6:40 in the morning, or a little bit earlier than that, I'm going to walk down that runway after giving them my ticket, and I'm going to go onto the airplane, and I am going to sit down in a seat. And after everybody else gets on, they're going to shut the door. A man or a woman up in the front is going to start up the engines of that airplane. They're going to push back, and they're going to get going about 500 miles an hour. They're going to climb, at least for the flight to Detroit, up to about 4,000 feet. And what usually takes me about an hour and 10 minutes to drive, we're going to get there in 15 minutes. When I sat down in that seat, I am fully trusting the employees of Northwest Airlines to get me to where I'm going. I will not tomorrow morning go up to the pilot and say, can you show me your qualifications for flying this plane? Can you tell me how many flights you've made? Can you tell me, have you ever been in a crash? I'd probably get off if he told me, but have you ever had any scary experiences? Have you always arrived at your destination? Could I see your pilot's license? I will not do any of that tomorrow morning. I will get on that plane and sit down in my seat. I will not go up to the maintenance man that's usually standing pretty close and say, hey, I'd like to examine the maintenance records of this airplane. I'd like to see, you know, what the last thing you had to do for it. I used to travel with a guy that there's a plate, right, a metal plate right inside the door that has the date the airplane was built. And I used to travel with a guy that always looked at that plate and he pointed out, oh, this plane was built in 1983. I've quit doing that because some of the planes I've been on have been older than some of you. Not as old as me, but older than some of you. But I'm not, tomorrow morning when I get on the airplane, I am not going to demand to see the maintenance records so that I can check it out and make sure that that plane has been properly maintained. I'm going to go onto that plane, I'm going to get set down in that seat, and I am going to fully trust the pilot and the mechanics and the air traffic controllers and the people that worked on that plane to get me to where I'm going tomorrow morning. I'm not going to give them my opinion about how things should be done different. I am not going to question the actions that they take. I mean, if the pilot banks the plane over like this, I'm not going to say, "Hey, why are you doing that?" Or, you know, if he makes it climb and we go like this, I'm not going to stand up and go knock on the door and say, "Hey, what are you doing?" I'm going to sit there in that seat and I'm going to trust the pilot. And again, everybody that worked on the airplane to get me to where I need to go. Now, do you see the parallel in our Christian life? When I got saved, I did exactly the same thing to Jesus Christ. When I understood that I was a sinner, and when I understood that there was a penalty for that sin, and when I understood that I could do nothing about paying the penalty for the sin myself, what I did was I went over and I sat down in Jesus Christ. I mean, I trusted him. I trusted that what he did on Calvary was sufficient to pay for my sins. I trusted that the blood that was shed, when the Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. When the blood was shed and my preacher told me about Jesus and told me that he died for me and paid for my sins, I sat down in Jesus completely, and so did you if you got saved. Because if we trust Jesus and something else, if this seat represents salvation, and I sort of sit down tentatively and hold myself up like that, I'm not saved because I'm not trusting in Jesus Christ altogether. You see, it's Jesus and nothing else, just him. And when I got saved, when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, my full, complete, unquestioning trust was in him. I didn't try to give him any suggestions. I didn't say, "Hey, how come you didn't do it this way?" Or, "I think you ought to do this a different way." I just sat down in salvation and trusted him to make me right with God. Now, he wants us to live our lives the same way. He wants us to trust him that very same way, the very same way we trusted him to get saved, where we sat down in him completely. He wants us to live our life day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, moment by moment, just like that. He wants us to say, "Look, here's what he says. I've got a plan for your life. Not only for, you know, when you get to the end of it, but I got a plan moment by moment by moment. I want you to just follow that plan. I want you to trust me with your whole heart." As Aubrey and I talked about that, we talked about what that meant. That means everything. The heart in the Bible represents your total being, all that you are. And that's what God says. I want you to trust me with everything you are. I don't want you to hold any piece of your being back. All your mind, all your soul, everything that makes you you, I want you to just trust me with everything. And then he says, don't lean to your own understanding. You see, so many times, and we're going to illustrate this in a minute, we're like the Ford Motor Company. We have a better idea. I mean, and I'm not against Ford, although I'd tell you not to buy a Ford, but you know, you buy whatever you want. But we don't have a better idea when it comes to our life. As I was saying this morning, God made us. He has a plan for us. He knows what's best for us. And he knows us better than anybody else. And if we just trust him and be obedient to him, he'll direct us every step of the way. You say, "Well, preacher, I've been praying for something a long time." Okay. And maybe you're getting impatient, and God isn't working as fast as you want him to work. But I'll just remind you tonight, he knows what he's doing. We are fast food Christians. We pull into McDonald's and we order a hamburger. We go to God and we pray and we expect to get an answer in seconds. And sometimes God says, "Wait a minute. I'm going to answer you, but waiting is part of the answer. Trusting me is part of the answer." And so he says, "Now look, don't lean to your own understandings. Just be obedient." Now, I want to illustrate that. Adam, I want you to come up and help me. Okay? I just need to tell you. And I'll just tell everybody. Adam's going to represent God. I'm going to represent us. Okay, don't clap, Chantel. Hold your applause. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to start right over there beside Sam. I want you to direct me to come up around, up those steps, through the first row of the choir, down those steps, and sit right there in that seat. Okay? And you're God. All right? And so I want you to give me instructions to do that.
Okay, 4 steps forward.
Turn left. 10 steps forward. Got 9 more steps.
Huh?
You have about 9 more steps.
Yeah, but I'm a little tired. I thought I'd just stop right here. I thought it would make the journey a whole lot better, you know, if I could just rest a little bit right here.
Put a rest down that way. You know,
you want me to rest down here in case God gets mad?
You have not completed the journey I have for you.
That's right. I'm ready now.
Okay.
What do I do next?
Need to walk about 5 steps forward. 5 steps that way, the other way.
Huh?
This way.
Yeah, but you know it was easier to come this way. You see all those holes over there that way? It's just a whole lot easier to come this way. That's where we're trying to get right there, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, why can't I just go this way?
I've already picked the path for you. I'm just trying to...
Yeah, but wouldn't it be a whole lot easier if I went this way?
It might look that way, but I think I know where I need you to go.
Oh, okay. So what do I need to do?
Well, now you need to take about 12 steps forward in that direction. We'll stop at 7. That's good. That's more than 7 or 12.
You said 12.
I said stop at 7. I don't know what you're...
No, you said 12. I took 12.
Okay, come back about 4. Two more.
I can't see where I'm going.
I can see.
I'd like to see where I'm... I might run into somebody.
It's safe. I can see.
No, but I'd like to see.
Okay, turn around and look, but you
this looks good.
That's not where I need you to go.
What's next?
Okay, if you need to see where you're going, turn a little bit to the left. Take another step forward to your left. Take a step that direction. Turn to the left again. Take a few steps forward and up the steps.
What's a few?
3. We'll start
three?
With 3.
1.
Step up.
Huh?
Step up.
What?
Step up. Step up and put your foot on the step. Step up to the next step with the other foot.
Oh.
Okay. Making this a lot more difficult.
You think God ever says that to us? Hurry
right,
up. I'm getting tired.
Right foot on the next up step.
Huh?
Right foot on the top step. Left foot on top step. Take another step forward. Step up on the riser. With your
isn't
right.
Aren't we going over there?
I need you to go up and around.
But isn't that where we're going?
Eventually. Yeah.
Well, why can't I just go like this? It looks a whole lot easier.
It does.
It would save me. How much further are we going?
There's quite a bit more to go.
Remember when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt? And God said, I could get them to the promised land real quick. But if they go this way, they're going to run into some people that they'll have to fight. And if they fight, they're going to get discouraged because they haven't been trained to fight yet. I got to get them trained to fight. And so sometimes it looks like God's leading us down a path that we just don't understand. We think we can see where we're headed, but sometimes we don't. And we lean to our own understanding and say, boy, I got a better way than God to get. I don't know why he's putting me through all this. I can just go right over there and get to where he wants me to be. And yet we forget that sometimes, like the Israelites, the way that he leads us and what he puts us through prepares us so that when we get to the place that he wants us to be, we can do what he wants us to do. We can enjoy what he gives us a whole lot better than if we lean on our own understanding, our ideas. Okay, so let's see if we can make this. We're not done yet. Let's see if we can make this work. So I'm right here.
Okay, step up those 2 steps.
Those 2 right there?
Yeah, go forward and go over those steps.
Boy, I tell you, I don't know about these steps. You know, I think I better take it pretty easy like this.
That's just mean.
Because I don't want to fall. Can I get up now?
You can get up.
You sure? This is solid enough.
That's good, yeah.
Huh?
It's safe.
Okay. Oh, I don't know, man. I better keep 1 foot down here just in case this gives way when I put my all 170 pounds on this. That was a joke. All 170 pounds on this. Ooh, ooh. Oh, it seems to be holding me so far. Okay, this is good. What next?
Go forward, but a little bit to your left. Take 3 steps.
Forward, a little bit to my left.
Just so you miss the wall there.
Huh?
Just so you miss the wall. Walk up
one,
and the wall there.
1, 2, 3.
Two more. Just get around the wall. Okay, stop. Turn right.
Oh, right. Okay, right.
Step up on the step. You can come through the straight. Through that first row, right in front of you.
Wait a minute. What about this one up here?
Not that one, no.
Look. It looks a whole lot better than that one does down there. I mean, I can see more. I'm higher. This feels better than, man, down here. I don't know about this row. Couldn't I take this rope down here?
No.
Why?
That's not in the plan.
Huh?
That's not in the plan.
Could we change the plan?
No.
Can't change the plan.
No.
Look at how fast I can go through this rope. Man, look at, I'm almost there. What do you think?
That's not my plan.
I just don't understand. Just don't understand. What do you want me to do?
Back to the first row, through on the first row.
First row.
Walk through the first row. On the ground.
On the ground?
Walk on the ground, on the first row.
Do you see what's up here?
I have seen it, yes.
Boy, I don't know how those ladies sing up here in this row. You want me to go through this row?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
How fast?
Let's try to get done tonight.
Try to get done tonight? How's this?
It'd be better if you move back.
You said just to take my time.
I said we'll try to get done. That's fine. Now stop. Come back towards me.
Towards you?
Forward. Not toward me. Forward. Toward the chair. Not what I...
Huh?
Go back to that spot over there. Okay, right there. Now go exactly forward from where you are. No, you were pointed over here. To the chair.
Oh, to right there.
Yeah, now you can go to the chair.
Should I step down?
You can go ahead and step down. Have a seat.
Huh?
Have a seat.
In that chair?
In this chair.
That chair right there.
Yes.
You sure?
There was a big guy sitting here a minute ago.
There was? You sure? That chair right there.
Yeah.
That chair right there. Ah. Yeah, this is pretty good.
Yep.
Why didn't you tell me it was so good?
You had to get there.
Huh?
You had to get there.
Now, I know this was a little funny, and I exaggerate. Don't leave yet. I exaggerated a lot. I exaggerated a lot. But just think about your life. And think about the way that God leads us and how many times we've had a better idea, how many times we've had a better plan, how many times we've had a better scheme, how many times we wanted to go in a different direction, we wanted to move faster than God wanted us to move, or we dawdled around and moved slower than God wanted us to go. And yeah, he was trying to get us into a place where he knew we needed to be, but we just, it was like all the way through the plan, we leaned to our own understanding. Or all the way through the plan, we didn't do it with our full heart. We didn't do it with our full self. There's always a piece of us that we hold back. Always a piece of us that we say, hey God, you can have all the rest, but I'm going to hang on to this piece. I just want to do it. I want to do this particular thing my way. And you see, when we do that, what we're saying to God is, I don't trust you. And what ends up happening to us is we're sort of responsible for ourselves. Here's what I mean by that. If we're in the center of God's will, if we're obedient to doing what God wants us to do, you know who's responsible for the outcome? You know who's responsible for taking care of us along the way? God is. God is. He's responsible for watching over us. He's responsible for taking care of us. And as long as I'm following this path that God gave me to go, he's watching over me. And in fact, that next verse says it, of Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In other words, in every area of my life, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That means he goes in front of you to clear the way, so to speak. Again, doesn't mean that we'll never have a problem or a trial, but it means that God goes before us and directs our path. And as long as I'm in that path that he wants me to be, as long as I'm trusting him with my whole heart, as long as I got my own understanding out of the equation, then he's responsible for the results. He's responsible for taking care of me. Now, when God tells me to go this way and I end up over here in the bushes where I'm not supposed to be, God says, hey, you're sort of on your own. I have not made provision for you over there. My provision for you is right here. Here's where I want you to be. And again, we sing that song, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You want to know where the happiest place in your life will be? I don't care what's going on. I don't care if you got problems at home, financial problems, relationship problems. I don't care if you got problems at work. The place where you want to be, that you'll be the happiest, is doing what God wants you to do. There's no better way to live than being obedient to what God wants you to do. And if you're in the center of God's will, if you're in his will, you don't need to worry about how things are going to come out. He'll take care of it. That's his promise to us. Okay, now, I want to show you what God sometimes has to do to get us to follow this will. Adam and I are going to trade places. All right? You go down, stand beside Sam. I'm going to direct you the same way. Okay, for sake of illustration, you can be a little bit stubborn until I get to my point. Okay? All right. Take two steps forward. Take two more steps forward. Take two more steps forward. All right. Turn right. Turn right again. Turn right again. Okay. Now, go 8 steps forward. So see, that nut doesn't fall far from the tree, does it? See? Like father, like son. I mean, he's doing exactly what I did. He's leaning to his own understanding. He feels, boy, if I go down and sit over here behind a Sierra, it's a whole lot better than walking up and down down here. I'll just sit over here and I'll rest for a while. I'll let God figure out what he's going to do next. And so I could, for sake of time, I'll just tell you that Adam will be as stubborn as his dad was in following the directions from God. He'll veer off the path. He'll go backwards when he's supposed to go forwards. He'll go right when he's supposed to go left. He'll walk when he's supposed to run. He'll run when he's supposed to walk. He'll get ahead of me. He'll get behind me. He'll argue with me. He'll question me, just like I did him, just like we do God sometimes. Okay, go back over to where you started. Now, here's a truth that I want you to catch. It says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, if I don't have enough faith in my God to trust him completely, I can't please him. There's no way I can please him. And so when I give Adam an instruction, if I'm God, and he disobeys it, what he's saying is, I don't trust you, God. And when we do that, there's absolutely no way we can please him. So here's what God has to do sometimes to get us to where we need to be. Can you see?
No.
Take two steps forward. Take two more steps forward. Turn to your left. Take three steps forward. Take three more steps forward. Take two steps forward. Turn to your right. Turn back to your left. Take one more step forward. Now turn to your right. Okay, take two steps. Take one more step. Okay, take your right foot and raise it and put it on. That's it. Now step up on that step. Take your right foot and step up on the next one. Take your right foot and step up on the next one. Take a couple steps forward. Now take your right foot and step up on the step. One more. Take one more step up. All right, walk about four steps forward. And you know, here's sometimes what God does. Just follow me. Take one step up. All right, come over this way. We're going to walk down this way. Keep going. That's all right. Okay, stop. Take one more step forward. Move your other foot. Half a step forward. Move your other foot. All right, step down. Turn to the right. All right, a little bit more to your right. Now take four steps forward. Turn to your right. Take a couple steps forward. No, this right. Now take two steps forward. All right, turn to your left. Take one step. One more step. All right, you're at the step. Now step down. Step down one more time. Feel the chair? Come over and sit down in that chair. Okay, thanks. Now, go ahead. You go back. Now, you see what happened that time? Not one time did he take a step to the right or to the left. Not one time did he go backwards instead of going forwards. Not one time did he turn left as opposed to turning right. He did exactly what God told him to do. Every step of the way. Every turn, every stop, every step forward. Sometimes God had to take him by the arm to show him the way that he wanted to go. But God got him exactly where he needed to be. Now here's my point. Just one point tonight. You know what we need to do in our walk with God? Sometimes we just need to get into that spot where we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to shut my eyes. I have no will of my own. I don't know what to do. I have no idea what to do next. But I know that you do. And so I'm trusting you to tell me what to do next. And God says, okay. Okay. You're exactly where I want you to be. You're exactly in a position to please me. Because when we take our hands off the steering wheel, and when we shut our eyes, and Aubrey and I talked about a circle that night when we talked about this verse. Here's a circle that represents where God wants us to be. It's like stepping into that circle all the way and saying, here I am. Here I am. I'm not going to keep one foot out. I'm not going to keep my hand out. I'm going to be in it all the way. And as we talked, I thought to myself, Why is it so hard to do that, to live the Christian life, when that's exactly what we had to do to get saved? You had to have, and again, listen, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't depend on a church. You don't depend on a preacher. You don't depend on grandma and grandpa or mom and dad. You depend on one person and what he did for you. You depend on Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. That's it. Nothing else. If you add anything to it, you've missed it. Missed it. Because it's not him and something else. It's just him. And when we got saved, and most of us here tonight are Christians, we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, because there was a point in our life where we got completely in the circle and we said, God, I can't do anything. I can't play any role. I can't play any part. I can't do anything to help save me. I'm depending on you all the way. For everything, he saves us. And then we have this road to walk. We have this path that's put in front of us. And instead of having that same amount of trust, where we just close our eyes and we say, like Jesus, I have no will of my own. My will is to do the will of the Father. We get to that place in our life where we say, God, I don't know what to do next. I don't know which way to go. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know how fast to go. I don't know how slow to go, but I know that you do. And I'm going to depend with all my heart. I'm going to trust with all my heart on you. And that's what it means, to trust with all your heart. To just sort of close your eyes. Let's go. We sang that song, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. With him. All the way. That's what it's talking about. It's closing your eyes and saying, I'm ready. Let's go. You tell me. And sometimes, just like in my illustration, he'll tell us which way to go, and sometimes he'll take us by the hand. And he says, he'll say this, hey, the next few steps are pretty rough. The next few steps is going to be hard. Let me just hang on to you, and we'll make it. I'll show you which way to go. And he'll do that for us our whole life, if we trust him. If we trust him. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, not a better time to do it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And again, if you're not saved, you just come. I'll have somebody take the Bible, show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian here tonight and you've sort of walked in your own way with your own understanding, I'll just tell you, that's not the place you want to be. You get in the circle that God draws and you stay right there. Take your hands off the steering wheel of your life and let him sit behind the driver's and in the driver's seat. Let him walk beside you. Let him give you the instructions. You just trust him with your whole heart, and don't depend on your own understanding. Like I said this morning in the message, his ways and his thoughts are not ours. The Bible says, I think it's in the book of Isaiah, as high are the heavens are from the earth, so is his ways and his thoughts above ours. And so many times we struggle in our daily life. We struggle with the things that God says, hey, if you just listen to me and trust me, we can get through this. And again, I'm not standing up here preaching saying that the Christian life is a bed of roses, because it's not. But I'm saying so many times when we get out of the path, we get into the thorn bushes, and God never intended for us to be there. He intended us to be right in the middle of the path. So if you're a Christian here tonight, just trust him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understandings. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for this time we've had together. Just one little verse.